so excited today for the opportunity we have again in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Did you get a bit of oil?
Yes.
Do you have your communion?
Yes.
Is your heart here?
Yes.
Very good. Ezekiel chapter 6. Verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, set thy face towards the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. Amazing. Now, remember yesterday, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I was pointing out that the message that God is giving to us is not always a nice message, if it is true. You know, there are some people who take pains to give a good impression of themselves and of their marriages and of their lives, because the good impression is so important to them. And when such a person gets hold of a preaching opportunity, he's at great pains to make himself look good to the people by saying good things which make everybody happy. But true preaching is not always a nice and a good thing. I mean, to the ears. It's always good, but it's not nice sounding. So here is a real prophet. I don't think anybody would disagree with the fact that Ezekiel was like a real prophet. If it was one of us, we can't be sure. But for Ezekiel, he's in the Bible. Is that not so? Yes. Now, what did he say to Ezekiel? Set your face towards where? The mountains, and prophesy against them. And say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys. Behold, I will bring a sword against you, and I'll destroy your high places. And your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain before your idols. And I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones around your altars. Now, what does this mean to us? What God is saying to us here is a warning. And the warning is that you see your idol, what you worship, what makes you jump, what makes you run, what you really listen to, what you really obey, what you really follow. I will spread your bones in front of that thing. Yes. I'll kill you and spread your bones in front of what you really value and honor, which is not me. Now that's scary. Yeah. I'll spread your bones in front of. So you must be, look, if you fear God, you must fear idols. You know, our human idealism makes us, when I say human idealism, like our ideals for an ideal life, makes us value things which God hasn't shown so much value for. If you read the Bible clearly, you see that God was what angered God. I mean, when you talk of his anger, from Genesis 2, wherever, it's idols. It's alternatives to God. This is what he doesn't like. Oh, you don't think so? Yeah. Something else that controls you other than God. He doesn't like it at all. Let's be a bit honest on this last moment we have together. What do you think? Yeah. But to us, we are more concerned about morality, which is also important. Our marriages, one husband, one wife. But the people we are following, you know, there's no comment about their marriages in the Bible. Yeah. There's no comment. This. The problem with Solomon was that his wife turned his heart away from God to other gods. That was the problem. But the wives, it was like God was even giving wives. Yeah. True or not true? What is dangerous to us is to let our hearts have an alternative to God, whether it is a physical wooden box, whether it is money, whether it is a person. No person must be important. As important as Almighty God and powerful in your life. That's why it's dangerous to love something too much. Yeah. One day I bought a jacket. Those days I used to wear a tie, and these days I've given up. And it was very nice. When I got home and I put it on and I was spotting myself before the mirror, then the Holy Spirit said, "I want your jacket." You know, since that time, I don't like a lot of things. If it's very nice, no, I don't like such things. So you must be careful of things you like too much, because he will ask for it. Yes. He'll ask for it. So he said, "I will spread your bones in front of that thing that is so wonderful. I will spread your bones in front of it." In America, I don't see gods in front of houses. If I take you to some parts of Ghana, they have something, it's just like a wooden man. It stands in front of the house. It's short. It's called a legba. And it is, I ask, what is it? They say it's a spiritual policeman of the house. A spiritual policeman. For the house, and there's one for the town. So there's one for the house, there's one for the town. It's protecting them. It's the God. Yes. And for during the miracle services in those places, I've never seen those type of diseases in any other place except in those places. Yes. Both within Ghana and outside Ghana, where they do a lot of, other gods and idols. Yes. When you are on the stage during the crusade, you become afraid when the people are walking towards you. Yeah, Dr. Go, is it not?
Very, very true. I mean, there are conditions, skin conditions, facial. I'm afraid, honestly. I'm very careful how to approach such people. It's wonderful to see. I've not seen before. I mean, I've spent many years in a hospital, but I've not seen. It's on the stage. I mean, just a higher hospital than even the.
Yeah. So, remember, your God is your God. He doesn't like alternatives. And he doesn't like things that are very powerful before him. Yeah. Even people. People. Nobody should be powerful. It's like taking the place of God. No pastor should take the place of God. Yes. Because he can't. He's not near God in any way. It's nothing. No love, no one you love should become too great. He said, I will spread your bones before their altars. Mercy. But then he continues. And verse 6, and in all your dwelling places, the city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste, and your idols be broken. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you know that I am the Lord. Verse 8, yet will I leave a remnant that you may have that shall escape the sword among the nations. So God will, I want to say this, that when there are some people left, it's often divine. You know how sometimes we feel like, oh, I know many people who've been trying to come to America, but you were able to come. Oh, but this happened to all this, but this one escaped. You get it? I want you to know that the people that are left are not left by chance. So if you are here and God has chosen you as a group that remains, that is not affected by certain things, then thank God. If you are in a car, listen, people don't die by chance. Just have to always believe that. Otherwise you'll be confused in this life. And we had some children who went swimming. Actually, one swimming. The one who couldn't swim. And the one went to save him. And the one who could swim drowned. And the one who couldn't swim was saved. One was a good swimmer. And the one who was not, who couldn't swim was saved. And the one who could swim couldn't be found. So, you don't even understand the exchange program that is going on. You get it? So I feel that there are people here, prophetically, God has exempted you, taken you out of a group, made you somehow survive certain things. And it is not by chance. It's not by chance. Even the whole church, in a sense, has gone astray. Do you know that? Look, the whole church has gone astray. So if it is the case that you have been preserved from going astray in a certain direction, then thank God and remember that there is a reason. And what's the reason? He's about to show you the reason. He says, I will leave a remnant that ye may have some that shall escape from among the nations. When you shall be scattered through the countries, verse 9, and they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations where they shall be carried captives. You see, when God allows you to be exempted and makes a special case for you to stand, huh? it is for you to remember him. Amen.
Amen.
And he said, because what? I am broken with their whorish hearts, which has departed from me, which go out whoring after their idols, and they shall loathe themselves for the evil they've done and all the abominations they have committed. So your heart, God wants your heart, oh. Yeah. You know, you can never make somebody love you. You can't force somebody to love you. You can't force somebody to desire you. It's from God. So God is looking for that great part of us, that we should love him and that our hearts should be with him. And he has great anger towards those whose hearts have departed from him. And God is always looking at our hearts. And he's going to bless us based on our heart. In fact, you can study people and try to find, what the secret of this guy's success? Oh, I know the secret of his success. He goes to the library 3 times a week. What's the secret of his success? Oh, he's honest his father. Oh, what's the secret of his success? Oh, he's a big giver, financial. Oh, what's the secret? Look, you can never know the secret of somebody till you know the heart of the person. What is in the heart is the real secret of the person. All the things you are saying, they may be true, but it may not be the secret. The secret is what is in the heart. Till you know the person's heart, you don't know the person. You don't know NATO. Hey, we can start again, you know? How many know that we can start the camp again and start from this morning and continue? Yeah, second service is supposed to have started. The next group, the next batch is supposed to come. After this, I'm supposed to go for breakfast and rest till the evening for all the people who are coming to register and settle down for this evening's session for the next service, for the next camp. It will happen practically in Jesus' name. Is it not fantastic? And then some people will sneak in to stay for the second service, and then they will be banned and the ashes will be identifying that you came already, you've been already, you cannot come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, stop trying to find reasons for things. The reasons are not really the reasons you may think of. The reasons are what is in the heart. You see, David's heart to build God a house. He says, because it was in thine heart to build me a house. And God blessed him. But is David the man with many wives? This is the man who killed his assistant, married the wife, gave birth with her twice, at least 2 pregnancies. Solomon and the one who died before Solomon. All right. So God is blessing us. And I believe you are a remnant that God has spared so that you remember him. And you are a group that will never let your heart go after any alternative to God. Yes. 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 No, don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. And that is why I believe, you know, and I thank God. I only say it's the grace of God that he has helped me to preach about things without being afraid of the implications. One day I went to preach in somebody's church. It was the first time, a large church. You know, when I finished preaching on the second day, the pastor said, "You have killed money in my church. You have killed money." Yes. Yeah, he said, you have killed money. He is physically, you have killed money. And I told him, don't worry. Tomorrow, I'll just take an offering. And I took one of the largest offerings they have ever seen. Yeah, because people just gave. People just gave. And money was revived. Hallelujah. Money is a will. Luke 21, verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Hey, Jesus, is there any area you ever leave out? Huh? He saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. If he saw the rich men casting their gifts, do you think he's not seeing the rich men casting their gifts today? He is. And Jesus looking at us as we cast our gifts. And then he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. More than they all. For all these of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. But she of her penury has cast in all the living that she had. Now, if you look at verse 3, she says, this one has cast in more. So Jesus is someone who looks at how much you put in. Yes. This one has cast in more. So Jesus sees what you do with money. And again, like I said, you can never know somebody till you know the heart. You may mention an amount and judge the person by the amount. But here is God. He will strip you naked and say, this is what you are doing. Yours is very small. People will say, it's very big. So, no, it's small. Jesus, he will naked you right now and then he will just tell you, you are wicked. You are this, you are this, you are this. No argument. Those who like argument, I tell you, this, stop it. Stop it. Don't take it to heaven. You're not going to work in heaven. He naked you right now and just tell you what you are. God is looking at how much we give. How much we give. And money is to lose its power over you. Money must lose its control over your life. Yes. And that's why I'm saying to some of you, go and sell that thing that links you to money and makes you a slave for the next 15 years. Actually, it will make you a slave. You will die a slave. And your inheritors will inherit the slavery. Yes. Believe me. Yeah. Believe me. There's nothing like freedom. Yeah. Happiness and freedom. Nothing controls you. Only God controls you. Yeah. And I enjoy that even in preaching. I enjoy preaching what I believe is right, not what people think. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So, as we are going out, I want us to know that God is looking at how much. He's looking at our hearts, the heart, and what we are able to do with our hearts. He looks at what we give. He looks at our behavior with money. Yes, money is something he's looking at. is looking at and he's seeing through all our hypocrisies, all our pretenses, all our games. Yes. Do you think when he was on earth, he was looking at those games? You think he's not looking at our games today? He's looking at our things. All the explanations we give, the reasons. Oh, let me see you after. Oh, give this. The reason why this and that. Oh, I couldn't do this. Oh, but this. Oh, please, you know. And then, you know, like when I was preaching and I said, now, how much is a surgery? And you see that we find money for surgery. Big monies. Huge. We find money for almost everything that we do in church. There is an alternative which people can find money for. Funerals. Hey. So Jesus said, and this is the power that I believe God is going to give you. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it up again. When God gives you power to give your life, you see, it is actually power to be rich. Yes. You know, God gave me the power to give up my life for the ministry. Yeah. And my children, even. Yeah. I never thought of what school they would go to, what they would become. In my calculations and my estimations, I didn't really care. I said, I'm sure they'll be okay. Were you not okay? I don't know which country you grew up in. Are you not okay? I thought you'd be okay. I have power to lay it down. Today that power is being given to you. And as the anointing of the Lord comes upon you, power, I tell you, you see, it's showing you the source of power. Power to lay down is power to be rich. The power God gave me to give my life was a power to have some things that I would never know how to get. Yeah. So you see, now God is showing you the power. It's not the power to get the thing, so, but the power to lay it down. No, I learned this from Bishop Oyedepo. This one. Yeah. He was saying that, look, riches is not a power to get, but it's the power to lay down. Because the giving is what brings the receiving. So it is the power to lay down is the real power. Yeah, because that's what you don't have. Yeah. And because you don't have to lay it down, you can never receive certain things. Wow. Yeah. This is somebody who came. He said, we have built 44 schools this year. And he doesn't have any. They said, there's no debt in any of his things. He doesn't believe in it. He calls businesses fake businesses or debts, ridden debt up to their necks. You can listen to him if you like. You see, you hear all the things. That's why when I first heard it, I was shocked. I said, but these are the same things that I believe. That's right. Yeah. Only that he was far more confident about it. Well, you guys made me lose my confidence. You'll be telling me things, American, this, that, and so on. And I said, no. Then I realized that, no, Charlie, there are others who believe all these things fully, and they are doing ministry and doing great things. Yeah. Without all these debts and all these things. So my son Joshua, he went back and he told me, look, Daddy, you were preaching about, he said, when you listen to What Is Your Life Camp, he said, you were talking and giving details. He said that 2001, September 11th, yeah, just a few days before, a few days after, September 11th, yeah, that's 2001. He said, you were giving the details. So you were still talking about all these things. I've believed it for years. Yeah. And you see, this is a beautiful scripture. I have power to lay it. That is the power to have. It's the power to lay that. But when you give it, that's what brings it. Yeah. Amen. And God showed me that. That's why yesterday morning I became encouraged, because I was hearing the word 5 millionaires. And I also felt, what God was showing me, that I should take the evangelism and the crusade to the highest level. Yes. And I should give myself to that thing, fully. And that he will raise people to pay. Yes. Yes. He will raise people to pay for it. And I believe that it is happening.
Amen.
Practically.
Amen.
Power. To be rich is the power to lay down. Yeah. Yeah. You see, the power to have a certain life. The life I live now. Do you get it? It's a type of life. Yeah. But the power to get such a life is from the power to lay down your life. And you are receiving that power today. Do you like this message I'm sharing? He says, yeah. You see, because God is removing the veil that is covering the power to have these things. Yes, because there is no prosperity without giving. This is also a quotation from Bishop Oyedepo. There is nothing like prosperity without giving. Yeah. Yeah. And also, you know, I want to encourage you to be listening to the preaching and listen to it over and over again. Because I realize that when a person is doing, because Bishop Edith, I started listening to his preaching more than 20 years ago. But at a point, I thought I knew what he was saying. So I know what he's saying. But then after 10, 12 years, I started to listen and I realized I didn't know NATO. And I realize that you can listen to somebody, but I don't know what he's saying. You sort of assume you know what he's talking about and what he's doing, but actually you don't really know it at all. Yeah. I can give you landmarks to show you the time. But don't assume you know. So, Bishop, I know. He said, kill yourself for Jesus. This, all out, whatever. This is it. Yes. You don't know NATO. But if you are humble, and you see, like what I'm even saying this morning, it's like a curtain is being removed. God is showing you the power to see certain things in your life. It's actually the power to lay down certain things. It opens the door, because they give and it shall be given to you. So, there are two things here. One is a prophetic warning. He says, I will scatter your bones in front of your idols. Your bones will never be scattered in front of no idol. Yes. Yes. Yesterday, more than one person came up after to say, I'm going to give 100,000. And I was thinking to myself, when I left, then it occurred to me, this scripture occurred to me that God is making it occur to people that their vision to give 100,000. And they were talking about it and explaining why they are within striking distance of the 100,000. So it means that the fact that somebody wants to give, it means that God wants to give the person a certain power. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Because to have it, you have to give it. You see, that's why I'm flying in a plane. Yes. Because when I came, one of the things is that I said, I'll never fly again abroad. Have you heard me say that before? I said, I'll never travel again. Amazing, isn't it? And I'm flying straight to Zurich now. And then straight to the mountains, Swiss mountains, Alps. I'm going to see the snow and, you know, enjoy some Swiss views. Yeah, they are the thing in the mountains. Yeah. I gave, all travels are over forever. That's why I had my own house when I was 29 years old, because I said I'll never have a house in this life. Yeah. I knew I would never have a house to stay in. And I laid it down. I said, it's okay. But I didn't know that there was somebody who could buy me my house, a house at the age of 29. Yes. But I found out after. I knew that this is the end of where to stay. Yeah. So when God wants to give you many things, he will somehow give you the power to give something great that is linked to that thing that he's going to give you. Give and it shall be given to you. Give your life and life shall be given to you. One time I was at a crusade. I had preached for more than 20 whatever days, night after night, laying hands on it. On the last day, I was praying, and somebody came up and said something. And as the person spoke and was giving a testimony, then a thought came to me about myself, something medical. It had not occurred to me. Check this. I said, hey, it was almost the last person. And the Holy Spirit told me, as you are praying for people and you have been blessing the people, this is what I also gave you. Yeah, I was surprised. It was the last day. I had been praying for people night after night after night, lines of lines of lines of lines. Here's yours. Here is yours. Power to receive is power to give. Yes, power to give. That's why yesterday I was raising everybody's level. And I know it's happening. 100,000 will not be a strange thing. Somebody will say the church is made of millions. I don't care what they say. Look, Charlie, I'm in my 50s now. I don't know how long I have left. We need to move on quickly. Yeah, we can't be listening to, vain janglings and gagglings of, unfortunate people who are not, moving on after a lot of preaching. Yeah. Yes, those who like argument, I think this camp meeting has been a rebuke to those who like arguing. Go and listen to the first message. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, we are going to pray now and I believe you are blessed. I do not have to lay hands on you, but I'm not going to attempt because we are too many. But I need you to believe.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, because somebody can even breathe on you and you rather feel an infection or something like that. It will occur to you that you are going to get a cold. So don't. It is what you believe. It's what you believe. Yes. That happens. Yes. It's what you believe. Because it is not anything, but it's what you believe. All right? Now, turn with me to Luke 4:18. Wow. How many are already blessed? Wow. I feel blessed too. Give it. Come on and give it. I said, come on and give it. Amen. And God is going to bless you. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And as the anointing comes on you, the Spirit of the Lord is going to be upon you.
Amen.
To do the main thing, what? Preaching. Preach the word. Preach the gospel to the poor. gospel to poor. No matter who you are, we can preach to you. You don't have no needle. You have nothing to give. We can preach to you still. We like you. God likes you. God doesn't need a rich person before he can preach. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Today, all brokenhearted means disappointment. As the anointing comes on you, all disappointments are canceled from your life in Jesus' name. And as your pastor, I want to prophesy also concerning your marriages, your sweet and sour marriages. Just listen to Ida's new song about we don't do whatever. It's a prophecy. Everything that is in the song, do it. The one that said we don't do this anymore, we don't do this. Do all the things. It's a formula. Kabashakaya. I say it's a formula. Go home and practice it. Start touching and kissing and hugging. And do all the things in the song. Humility. The song says humility. Listen to the song and you see that, Charlie, God has spoken. It's an instruction. Don't say that, Abby, you are too old for such things. You are too fat for such things. The fatness is another type of beauty. It's called buxom majesty. Yes. Yes. Sit down, please. We are talking about the anointing. All your disappointments are being overturned in Jesus' name. Preaching of deliverance by the anointing. You are declared delivered from every personality of devils in Jesus' name. And remember that demons are persons without bodies. They have personalities. And when they come around, they try to make a certain personality exist. Because they are persons. So if they are unfriendly, they create an unfriendliness. Yes. They come to you and they create unfriendliness. If they are stubborn, they create stubbornness. If they are moody, they create a moody environment through whoever accepts them. Yes. They are persons. They are personalities. They say, I will come into the house. And you see all through the Bible, it describes as a person. And sometimes you see that you are three in the house. It's your husband, your wife, and a third person who is influencing the feeling of conflict. It's no problem. You are a very handsome and very beautiful person. And there is tension. It's the spirit that is the third party. Kayamosha kabayanda la baba. All third parties are going out of your house as you go home. I preach deliverance from every form of captivity. And the recovering of sight to the blind. This camp meeting marks the opening of your eyes to many things. In Jesus' name. You see, the beginning of the camp to the end of the camp has been a revelation. Yes, it's a revelation. Yes, the theme is a revelation. I gave you the theme, but you couldn't understand it till I came. Yes. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. And verse 19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. All right. Stand to your feet. Take out your oil. The anointing. If you don't have oil, you can ask somebody. I'm sure people have. Don't dirty the carpet or the chair, please. Father, we thank you. Lift up the oil. Father, we thank you for the oil, the anointing. Lord, your word says, any sick, let them call for the elders. Let them anoint with oil and pray for the sick. And your word says that your disciples went out and prayed for people and anointed them with oil. Thank you for this oil. Whatever is not right in our lives, by this oil, we thank you that we are healed and recovered from it. In the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare, Lord, that this oil now represents your anointing and your power. It represents the power to lay down our lives. The power to lay down, the power to give, the power to release, the power to give up to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing that comes upon everyone right now. Now just anoint yourself with the oil. Just anoint yourself with the oil. Just anoint yourself with oil and put your hand on your head as I pray. Father, thank you for the anointing, the oil of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the power of God on everyone. Every disease is healed. Every curse is broken. Every captivity is undone in the name of Jesus. Deliverance is coming now in Jesus' name. Disappointments are being healed in the name of Jesus. Disappointments are being healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you. The power to release, the power to give, the power to prosper, the power to prosper is released right now. Receive the anointing of the Lord. Receive the anointing of the Lord. And as you go out of this place, Yamo Shantala Makabarandale Mamanda, by the power of the anointing, what overcame you before, you will overcome it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Every barrier to your progress, I declare by the anointing, you have overcome that barrier by the anointing in the name of Jesus. Just as Elisha crossed the River Jordan when he received the mantle, I declare that you are crossing every Jordan River, every obstacle, every river you must cross, you are crossing it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive power. 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 In the name of Jesus. Power to prosper. Power to succeed. Power to overcome. Power in the name of Jesus. The blessing of the Lord is your portion. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone shouted amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now take your communion. We are having communion.
We break. It's the communion.
The body of Jesus.
Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God. Oh, it will sustain you, it will make you whole. When I see the blood.
The body of Jesus broken for you. Now listen. Listen. The Bible says, as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death. You manifest his death. What does his death do? His death pays the price for all pains, sorrows, diseases. By his stripes, remember, you are healed. Your personality is healed. Your marriage is healed. Your life is healed. Your broken finances are healed by his stripes. Whatever is not perfect. Did you hear me? I said, whatever is not perfect about you and about your life. This body broken. And he said, if you, as long as you eat, you show or you manifest that event, the event of your healing, the event of your restoration, the event of correcting things that are wrong. You show the Lord's death. You show, you manifest the power of God and the death of Jesus Christ, broken for your brokenness. Father, we lift this up and we declare this to be your body, the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. As we receive this body, whatever is wrong, let it be corrected. Whatever is imperfect by this broken body. You said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall have life. May your life begin to enter every single person. In the name of Jesus Christ. However Jesus' life is, let that life be transplanted into us right now. A life of healing, a life of health, a life of wealth, a life of blessing. Father, we thank you for a life of obedience, life of the cross, the body of Jesus Christ. And now, the blood. Huh. How many have made some mistakes? Have you made quite a number of mistakes? This is the solution for your mistakes. Yes. Whatever represents a mistake in your life, may the blood of Jesus. Father, we declare this to be the holy, precious blood of Jesus. May the blood of Jesus wipe away every mistake. Jesus. Neutralize every curse. Jesus. Undo every wrong. Jesus. Disempower the enemy against you. Jesus. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Whatever represents a disaster, may it pass over to the next house. And may you escape it divinely. In the name of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. Now, lift your hands for your blessing. Is the oil still on your head? Yeah, you see, the blood and the oil, they go together, the blood and the oil, the blood and the oil. He said, put the blood on the thumb and then put the oil. Lift your hands. Father, let the oil flow now. Amen. Let the anointing flow. Amen. As we have received the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus Christ, let the oil and the anointing flow in our lives. Amen. Breathe in and receive the Holy Ghost in your life. Receive supernatural power to do all that God has told you to do. Disobedience is taken out of your life. Disobedience is taken out of your life. Weakness is taken out of your life. Barrenness is taken out of your life. Emptiness is taken out of your life. I declare you to be an obedient child of God with supernatural power in your life. From today, whatever destroys Christians in America will never have power to destroy you again in Jesus' name. Whatever spoils Christianity in America will never spoil your Christian life in Jesus' name. Whatever weakens pastors will not weaken you in Jesus' name. Whatever curse is operating in your life and in your family, I declare that curse neutralized by the blood of the Lamb. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of diabetes. The spirit of starvation in the midst of plenty. You will never starve anymore in the midst of plenty. I speak to dreams that have been disappointed. Every disappointment, I command you, I call you out, I identify you, I identify you, I speak to you. Disappointment, American disappointment, I undo your power in Jesus' name. The disappointment will turn into a blessing. Receive a divine surprise. Receive a divine turnaround. Receive a divine blessing. I superimpose the blessing over the curse. In the name of Jesus. Whatever has mocked you, in the name of Jesus, will not be able to mock you anymore. All your mockers will come to celebrate the great things that God has done in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lay hands on your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of this belly shall flow life. Many people shall be saved through your speakings and through your ministry and through your life. I declare you are debt free in Jesus' name. I declare you are debt free in Jesus' name. I declare and bless you and prophesy over you. You have no debt in this life in the name of Jesus Christ. All deceptions are unraveled in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Now he who began a good work in America, in your life, he who was able to bring you to such a camp, he who has started something wonderful in your life, he who has brought you to this place, may he bring you to the end of the journey. May you come to the end of the journey with joy. May you see better days and better things ahead. May the sorrows of your youth be forgotten. I hear the word, I hear the word Manasseh. Manasseh means Manasseh means I have wiped away the sorrows of your youth. So whatever have made you cry in the earlier years and the earlier times over here, God is wiping away those sorrows and he is releasing you into a brand new life in America in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Manasseh, I declare it over you. Manasseh, I declare over you. Manasseh, all past sorrows and past whippings and past mistakes are overturned and cancelled in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the blessing that has come to our lives. Lift your hand and give thanks. Now lay hands on your head. Father, let the oil, the anointing, rub into our life. Rub the ointment over your head. Let the anointing, the power of God, the power to preach, the power to teach, the power for the great commission, the power to tell the truth, the power to do what is right, the power to give, the power to lay down. Let it seep and enter deep into your life. You are receiving power from on high. All curses, dragons, witches, witchcraft, power, demonic hold over your life, I declare it is broken. I cut it off. I disconnect you from the demonic powers, lizards, spiritual dragons, spiritual snakes and serpents. You are disconnected from the power of the enemy by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. For doing it. For doing it. We are grateful. Lift your hands. When Jesus stood before Lazarus' tomb, he gave thanks. As you stand before any dead thing, you are giving thanks. Some of you, you've thought that America, you are here, is a dead end. But this is what the Lord says. As you lift your hand and you say thank you, every dead end has turned into life now. Everything that looks like a dead end of your life, it is coming alive today. New life. Receive new life. New beginnings. New opportunities. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for this great blessing. And everybody shouted, amen.